Good morning. Welcome to the worship this morning from Central Church of Christ. We're happy to have you with us, whether you are here in the Johnson City area or someplace else. We just heard that there were some people who followed our classes in Washington State. Before most of us have had our coffee, they were listening. Everybody probably is wondering what 2021 will be like, but it's hard to anticipate. No one at this point, at least no one that I know, anticipated what 2020 would be like this time last year. The future can be like walking into a dark room. We were fumbling around. We don't know what's going to be there. We can trip over things. We can bump into things. And we wish that we had a flashlight or could find the switch to turn the light on in the room. We need that same kind of light as we look at our physical futures, our spiritual futures as well. As we begin our worship this morning, I'd like for us to read a few verses from Psalms 119. Beginning in verse 103 through 105. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Throughout 2021 and the rest of our life, let God be our guide, our light, as we go through our day-to-day living. Now we will begin our worship with song.
Our first hymn this morning is No, Not One.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. None else could heal our soul's diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done.
Pardon me. Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing number 76, How Great Thou Art.
O Lord my God, when I am lost and lost, Let's bow together.
Father in heaven, we come before you this morning, praising you, giving you honor and glory. We're thankful that you're faithful to us, even though at times we aren't faithful to you. We're thankful for forgiveness of sins, even though we struggle with it constantly. Father, we look out and we see so much sadness and despair. But we pray as we begin 2021 that we will look over the horizon of these things and that we will refocus on you as our primary focus. For we know that you can do all things. Father, as we go through this life, we pray that you would help us to focus on the things that you bless us with. We pray that all the things that we do would be glorifying to you. And we also pray that one day that we will all meet together once again in fellowship and live in unity. As we continue through this worship service, Father, we pray that the lesson brought to us would enter into our hearts and minds, and that we would apply it to our lives in such a way that would glorify you. Once again, we pray for your forgiveness of sins. Help us to focus on you and all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our hymn before the scripture reading and the lesson will be, Lord, Take Control.
Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 through 38. That's Luke, chapter 12, verses 35 through 38. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants.
Again, we welcome you to our worship service this morning, coming from the building of the Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee. There's about 10 of us in the building right now. It feels pretty lonely, not to say anything bad about the ones that are here, but we do miss all of you and look forward to the day when we'll be together again. And we see that day coming. Just gotta be patient, gotta hold on a little bit longer. David said something in his prayer a bit ago about focus. I found myself having to remove my glasses every now and then, especially when I'm outside in the colder temperatures. My glasses fog up, and so I have to remove them and walk a distance without them on. And it's difficult when you've worn glasses as long as I have. And when I put those glasses back on, everything comes back into focus. And that's what we're doing as we gather to open the Word of God. We're trying to sharpen our focus as we look at life, as we think about what we once took for granted, and how we think about what may come this year, what may not. Let's put our focus on those things that God shows us are most important. And so I hope you've got your Bible ready with you, that you will get it ready, open it up. If you have an app, let's fire those up. And I want you to follow with me as we look together at several passages in the Word of God. Also, I hope you'll join us this evening at 6 o'clock. We'll be meeting again at that time to worship God. Tim Haywood will be bringing the lesson this evening, and I know he'll have good things to say. So let's remember, this is the Lord's Day, and let's use it in order to draw closer to God. But again, thank you for joining us, and hope that you will find benefit by worshiping with us today. If you were to mention the word wiki, a lot of people today would think computers, and they would think about Wikipedia and that kind of thing. Well, it didn't always mean that. The word wiki once referred to the person that kept the lighthouse. They were the ones that were in charge of making sure everything was operating correctly. In fact, let me read from Wikipedia about some of the responsibilities of the keeper of the lighthouse. Historically, lighthouse keepers were needed to trim the wicks, replenish fuel, wind clockworks, and perform maintenance tasks such as cleaning lenses and windows. And of course, that was a very important job, a lonely job, because many of these lighthouses were located in desolate areas, remote from other places of civilization. And yet it was important that somebody be there to keep the light burning. Well, lighthouses are not mentioned in the Bible, but the idea of keeping the light burning certainly is. In fact, we just heard Jesus say it as Luke chapter 12 was read to us. And so that's the idea we want to focus on today, because light is so needed in our world. It always has been, but many of us are realizing it right now more than ever because of things that are happening in our world that are frightening, that are confusing. We don't know the future like we once thought we did, and now we realize there is a need for light. But where will that come from? Who is responsible for that? And that's us, those of us who are followers of Christ. And so we're going to talk today about the idea of keep your lamps burning. Those are the words of Jesus, and that's what we want to remind ourselves of today. Let's begin by talking briefly about the Christian's charge to keep their lamps burning. Our charge to keep our lamps burning. I want to tell you, first of all, about a woman that I had not known before preparing for this lesson. Her name was Ida Lewis. Ida Lewis was described at one time as the bravest woman in America. She was born in 1842. Her father was a lighthouse keeper, and he took a job at Lime Rock, Rhode Island. And that was one of those desolate places. The lighthouse was on an island, and the only way to get there was by boat. And therefore, she learned how to navigate a rowboat early in her life. In fact, at age 12, she rescued four sailors who were shipwrecked and kept them from drowning. And as she continued that, her father died. She took over the job of being the keeper of the lighthouse. And it is known that she rescued at least 18 people who had been shipwrecked. And there may have been many more because she did not keep a log of her responsibilities. But that's an amazing account. Somebody that knew, my job is to make sure the lights are burning, and I'm going to do my job the best I can. And because of her efforts, many people were able to live. Well, that's us. We are commissioned to keep the lights burning. Now, if you want to be turning to Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at a couple of verses there that we studied more in depth a couple of months ago. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And this is the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And we know this well. There were 10 young ladies that were called upon to be attendants at their friend's wedding. And they were ready, but the bridegroom delayed. And so it grew dark, they fell asleep, and then they heard the call, the bridegroom is coming. In fact, let's read now in Matthew 25, verses 6 through 8. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." And of course, we know how it goes on. The wise young ladies said, "Well, we only have enough for ourselves. If we gave you some of ours, then nobody would have enough. So you need to go and purchase oil." And by the time they went and got back, the door was closed. But Jesus is teaching something here about being ready. And part of being ready is being ready to keep our lamps burning. Now, let's think for a moment about what we're talking about. When I read this, I think sometimes about kerosene lanterns. And they have the wick that you can turn up and make it brighter, or turn down and make it dimmer. But that's not what we're looking at in this setting. Robert Mounce, in his comments on the Bible, on this passage, says the 10 girls awoke and trimmed their lamps. And he mentions that that word trim comes from the word cosmeo, from which we get our word cosmetologist, one who puts things in order, and could refer to the preparation of torches as well as the trimming of a wick. And in fact, that's probably what we're looking at here. Instead of a lamp or even an oil lamp, these were probably torches. And R.T. France, in his comments, goes on to say this: "The lamps are probably torches made of oil-soaked rags wrapped on a stick, which would burn for several minutes before being dipped in oil again. Without a further supply of oil, they would go out as soon as they were lit." And that's the idea that we're looking at, is that they were not ready, and therefore they were going to be walking in darkness, and anybody else that depended on them would also be in darkness because they were not ready. They had not done their jobs well. And so Jesus's point is obvious when he gives this parable, and that is all of his followers need to stay in a state of constant readiness. In fact, let's go back to Luke chapter 12 now, the passage that was read to us a bit earlier by Billy. And let's look again at verses 35 and 36 and hear again what Jesus says there. Luke 12, 35 and 36. "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." And here again, you've got a picture of somebody that we don't know when the master's going to come, but we've got to be ready. We stay dressed and we keep our lamps burning. And that image, therefore, the image of light versus dark, that's a very common one throughout the Bible, and it often refers to the idea of righteousness in a world of evil. And so that's the idea. The job of a lighthouse keeper is not an easy one. They've got to give attention daily to keeping the fuel going, to keeping the wicks trimmed, to keeping the lenses cleaned. All of those things have to be done on a daily basis, or else they're not going to be able to help others that need their light. And in the same way, Christians must keep their lamps trimmed and ready. Through Bible study and through prayer, we keep our fuel supply going. And when we come together to worship God, we are cleaning the lens, so to speak. We are opening our eyes, focusing on what is most important in this world. And therefore, all of this is our task. But now we've got to ask the question, how do we do this? I mean, we're talking in a parable about light. We got to translate that into real life for it to mean anything for us. So how is it exactly that we shine our light? How do Christians do that? Let me make three suggestions, all of them from the Word of God. And the first one is this, that in order for us to shine our lights, we shine it through our words. That is one way that we can keep the light shining. If 2020 taught us anything, it is that words have power. We saw in many different venues, in many different ways, that words have the power to create good things or to make things very bad. And we've known that all of our lives. We got to be careful with what we say. And if we're not, then we probably end up regretting later things that we said that were not well thought out. Well, the Bible tells us that. The Bible says Christians of all people need to be people that shine the light by the words they choose. I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And here's one example of what we're talking about. Paul says, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And it's interesting how Paul describes our speech and what we are to do. It's number one, always to be gracious. Gracious means kindness. It means, you know, doing what is best for other people and not just thinking of what makes me upset and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. It's gracious. I want it to be a blessing to the people that hear my words. And then he says, seasoned with salt. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, you remember in Matthew 5, Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. People ought to be able to see something different about us, something that is a blessing, something that will give a good flavor, something that will preserve. You see, that's how we can use salt with our speech. And when we recognize that people are listening to what I say and people are reading what I write, are they seeing light through the things that I say, through what I write, or is it darkness like all the rest of the world? And also consider what we find in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter writes these words, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Now, the primary meaning of that verse is that we need to be able to tell people why we believe, why we follow Jesus Christ. And that's always what our obligation is, because we never know when we'll have an opportunity to bring someone to the Lord. But I think it also speaks in the larger realm of whatever we say, because he says we're to do it with gentleness and respect. And again, when I listen to people around me, when I read things on social media, I don't see that gentleness. I don't see that respect. And I don't see the light. Christians, we have an obligation to keep the light burning. And therefore, anytime we speak, anytime we write, that has to be our guiding principle. And it all begins, as Peter said there at the first part of the verse, honor Christ the Lord as holy. It begins in our hearts. And that's why we need daily Bible reading, daily prayer, daily meditation, because Christ is to be Lord of our lives. And when that is true, then we're going to be people that shine the light. Words are powerful. Whether we speak them out loud or write them on social media or in some other form, Christians, let's be keepers of the light, just like the Lord calls us to be. But here's a second way that we can shine our light, and that is shining the light through our good deeds, through the good things that we do for other people. Edgar Guest wrote a poem years ago, and you've probably heard part of it or maybe all of it, and it begins this way, and when I say this, you'll probably say, oh, I know that. He said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. Now, as a preacher, I don't like reading that. but I know he's right, because I can talk all day, but if you see a different message in my life, which are you going to pay attention to? Which one are you going to really listen to? You're going to say, well, he's saying this, but I see the way he's really living. And that's the idea. The things that we do can shine light. Matthew 5 again. Let's go to that passage. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And this is one of the most familiar statements in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world." Talking to his followers, those who are in the kingdom of heaven, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." And the idea there is, why would we want to hide the fact that we are following Christ? We're the light of the world. We're to be set in a place where other people can see that light. Well, how do they see it? Look at verse 16. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Christians are to show good works, not as a way of drawing attention to ourselves, not as a way of saying, "Hey, look, my church is better than all other churches." No, it is to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And Jesus said, that's how you shine your light. When people see the good that you're doing, and what does he mean by that? Things that help other people. When we see someone in trouble, we do what we can to assist them. When we know they are going through a hard time, we reach out to comfort and encourage them. Little things on an everyday basis, it shines the light. And look at Romans chapter 12 as we think about this idea a bit further. Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. And again, we're probably familiar with this, but let's think about it as we think about shining our light. "Beloved, never avenge yourselves." That's our immediate impulse. That's what we've learned from the world. You got to stand up for yourself and defend yourself. And to an extent, that's right. But he says this, "Never avenge yourselves. Leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Isn't that how Jesus taught us by his example? Overcome evil with good. Jesus could have called down 10,000 angels as we sing. He could have come down from the cross and struck them blind or struck them dead, those enemies that were taunting him. But he overcame evil with good. And when we see things around us that make us upset, rather than lashing out or retaliating, let's think about how Christ has taught us to respond. And those good works are a powerful way of shining the light that Christ calls us to shine. Here's a third way that we can shine our lights as Christians in this everyday world, and that is shining the light through sharing the good news. Through sharing the good news, or the gospel as it is often translated in the Bible. In Psalm 107, this is a passage that Danny Kellum spoke about in one of our encouragement videos this past week. It's an amazing psalm because it shows different examples of people that were in trouble. Some of them were wandering about in the desert. They were lost. They were dying of thirst. And they called out to the Lord and he delivered them. And here's another group he talks about that are lost at sea and they're being tossed by the waves and they cry out to the Lord and he delivers them, and a couple of other types like that. But he says this in Psalm 107 verses 1 and 2, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." And that last part, the ones he has redeemed from trouble, that's the one he goes on to describe later in the psalm. But it also describes you and me, doesn't it? If we are Christians who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, has he not rescued us from the most terrible trouble of all? And so he says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't be quiet about it. Tell other people about your Savior and let them know, I serve a Lord who can deliver, and I want you to know him as well. Well, why would we do that? Because that's what the Lord tells us to do. Mark 16, you know these. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. This is Jesus, just before going back up into heaven. He said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. And again, that word gospel, we could translate it as good news. And it is good news that Jesus came and died for us, to rescue us, to cleanse us from our sins. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That is our charge. And when we do that, when we find ways to help others come to know the Lord, we are shining the light in the best way. And we don't have to be preachers in order to do that, or trained teachers. It can be as simple as inviting somebody to watch with me the worship service, to go and study the Bible together with these online Bible classes. And when the building opens up again, come, let's go and let's praise God for getting us out of that pandemic. And there's just so many ways to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But again, it all begins with the determination, I'm going to shine the light. I am a keeper of the light. I am called upon by the Lord to keep my lamp burning. And so I will shine that light in every way that I can. And isn't that the ultimate purpose of a lighthouse? Is to keep boats from wrecking on the shoals and to show them the right way into the harbor? The story is told in 1871 about a man that was listening to a famous preacher of that day. And that preacher was telling about a terrible shipwreck that had happened outside of Cleveland, Ohio. The ship was making its journey across Lake Erie, and they could see the light from the lighthouse, but the lower lights that guided them into the harbor, they were not burning. And as a result, that ship wrecked, and several lives were lost. Well, the man that was listening to that sermon was named Philip P. Bliss, and he immediately put pen to paper and began writing the words to a hymn that we know so well. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor, fainting, struggling seaman you may rescue, you may save. You know, there are people around you and your circle of influence who are struggling. They're not hard to find right now. And you could have a great influence on them by shining the light. Let us as Christians do what the Lord calls us to do, to keep our lamps trimmed and ready and keep our lamps burning. But it begins with submitting to the Lord. And if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, we call upon you today to do the simple things that the Lord says need to be done. Peter was asked on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what do we do? They obviously believed his message that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And his answer in Acts 2:38 is still valid when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's still the case. And if today you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, send us an email at one of the addresses listed on the screen, and let us know you want to do that, and we'll wait for you. We'll make arrangements if you live away from here. We'll try our best to make it happen as quickly as possible. And if you've done that and you've not been faithful, you need to confess sin in your life and pray for forgiveness. Again, let us know by sending an email and we'll pray right here today And you'll know that God has forgiven you if you truly repent of that sin. God wants to help you. We want to do what we can, and that's why we're trying to shine the light for you. If we can help, let us know as soon as possible.
Thank you, Tim, for reminding us of how important it is to allow our lights to shine. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing, He Paid a Debt.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul and set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? Heaven will sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
If you have this style emblem with you, please go ahead and pull the clear layer back. Our message today really focused on action, on always being prepared, on staying ready, on keeping your lamp burning. And as we come to this part, this weekly memorial, this is part of always being ready. Christ taught all of us to take a moment and each week have communion with Him, to stop and reflect, and to make sure that our focus is correct. So as we take this bread, take a moment, reflect on the week, look ahead at this coming week, and make sure that your lamp is burning and that you are ready. Let's pray. Our Father, we praise you so much. There is so much that we are thankful for. There is so much that you have given us. And Father, we are grateful. We thank you. We praise you. We are awed by you. You gave us Christ. He was born. He grew. He lived this or on this earth. He taught. And he gave us so much. In fact, he gave us everything. He gave us his body. He gave his body to us so that through him we come to you. And Father, as we take this moment, as we take this bread, as we take this, the body of Christ, we know that we do this to come to you, Father. Father, as we pray, let us get rid of everything else that is not our focus on you. And we take this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's continue our prayer. Father, as we take this cup, this that represents the blood of Christ, the blood cleanses us. It cleanses all things. It cleanses all impurities. It is all powerful. And Father, it is because you said it so. Father, we come to you through Christ. It is the only way. And we are so grateful for his blood, for the sacrifice, for that he gave for us. Father, as we take this cup knowing that Christ did it willingly out of love. Father, as we do this, please be with us. Please be with us now, today, this week. And Father, we take this in Christ's name. Amen. At this time, we'll have a prayer for our contribution. Father, we come before you knowing that there are so many challenges, but Father, your love and your grace and your power are all consuming. And Father, many things frighten us and many things distract us. But as we give today, we give knowing that your word covers this world. And Father, we give because it's good for us, because you asked us to, because you give us so much, and because Father, we want your word to continue to cover this world. We want everyone to come to know you through Christ. And Father, we give. And we ask that all the works that are done in your name. And Father, we give willingly and cheerfully. And we ask that all this glorify Christ. Amen.
Let us again go to God in prayer. Our loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we spent together, that we might learn better how to serve you, how to feel thankfulness to you for all the things that you've done, and to be the light that we are to be to the world who's living in the darkness of sin. We pray that our time together has been glorifying to you and in line with your word and your commandments for us. We pray that you will go with us, keep us safe, be with those who are suffering at this time. Be with those who are taking care of them. As there is opportunity, we pray that we might be true Christians this week in serving others. We pray that when this life is over, whether it be a long time or a short time, that we will have a home with you in heaven. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.